Well, our subject this morning is living and walking by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we are saved by faith, and we live by faith. We don't live by sensing or seeing or touching the things that we believe. We believe what is revealed to us by God. And we receive God's truth by faith. One of the great verses on faith, and even a chapter on faith, is Hebrews chapter 11. But in verse 1, there's a description of faith, and actually kind of a description of what faith does. It says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." There's some interesting words there. This, the assurance, that word, not that you need to know the original language, but that word is hypostasis. And it means that, and the word picture of that is our faith is, if my hands represent faith, our faith is beneath the things that we believe. Faith is that which, the word is to underlie the substance and the essence and the reality of the things that we hope for. And you think of the whole of the revelation of God is like our faith holds these things and there they are. We can't see them. We can't sense them. We can't feel them. But our faith is the underlying truth that holds the truth. And then it says, now faith is the assurance. Faith is the assurance that it gives us and the conviction. So by faith, we believe the truth. There's the truth in our hands. And we are convinced. And that word of being convinced means to be certain and of the persuasion, persuaded of the certainty of that which we are holding by faith. Faith is the convicting evidence that leads to fully understand, to agree, to embrace the true reality of the things that we cannot see. I say this because the Christian life is lived by faith. It's lived by faith. It's entered into by faith. By faith, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have I ever seen Jesus Christ? No, I've never seen him. He is the Son of God, and he is the Savior who died on the cross to save me from my sins. Do I see the cross? Do I see him? No, I don't see that. But my faith is that which underpins those truths. And furthermore, our faith is the gift of God which leads us to be persuaded and convinced of the truth. And God reveals amazing truths to us. Wonderful truths. Heavenly truths. And we believe as if we can hold that truth in our hands and to be fully convinced. When we're saved, we're born again. We are born again or born from above by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is a death to life experience. Our nature is transformed by the Spirit of God. We look the same, we feel the same, but we are not the same. We're the children of God, born into the family of God. We are the sons of God with the same inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hold that inheritance in our hands. And we are indwelt with the personal presence of the Holy Spirit. We are in God and God is in us. And the Holy Spirit communicates the attributes in us, in and through our lives. And all of this we know by faith. In fact, we would never know it if we didn't have the Word of God revealing that truth to us. And accepting this truth by faith, we have assurance and conviction that what we hold on to is, in fact, the truth of God. And it's so important that we receive God's truth by faith. It is the ministry of God to give us assurance. It is the ministry of God to give us conviction of all that He reveals to us. And the revelation is not just to amaze us. It's truth to transform our lives. It's truth to depend upon. It's truth to be lived out. This morning, we're going to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as this passage indicates. We're to live by the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, we're to walk by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. This is the reality of truth that we hold in our hands, and I say, what kind of difference does that make in your life? I was thinking of one of my friends at Central Bible Church a long time ago, and he got up to preach, and he had a suit on and everything else, but he looked really funny to me because he didn't have any, he was barefooted. He didn't have socks on, he didn't have shoes on. He had a coat and tie, pants and everything, and he's up there barefooted. Of course, he did that on purpose. Because you don't forget the things that are really important to you, and you know, it's kind of silly for him to be up there barefooted, walking around up there, we're kind of looking down at this like, what is going on here? But when we know certain truths, we depend upon them. I never saw him ever again coming to church barefooted. It was to make a point. How much do we depend upon the Spirit of God daily in living our lives? Do we pray to the Father that His Son and His Spirit, that the person of the Holy Spirit will direct our lives that day? Are we really depending upon Him? It's very easy to live our life depending upon our own resources. You say, well, how do we know when we're leaning on our resources and not leaning upon the Spirit of God? That's an interesting question, but part of that would be answered by, you know, what do you put on when you go out? What do you put shoes on? Do you put the Holy Spirit on, so to speak? The Holy Spirit is indwelling us. But He says, I want to lead you. He says, I want to equip you. The whole of the attributes of God are in us because God is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And He reveals the attributes of God in our lives and through our lives. And He wants us to depend daily upon Him. So how often do we pray about the Holy Spirit and pray that the work of the Holy Spirit, we pray for that He will sanctify us and make us holy, less like this world, more like Jesus Christ. But He leads us every day. And this is not leading us to go on a trip or leading us to have a job or leading us. I mean, He leads us in those things too. But what the leading of this, the Spirit in Galatians is leading us in the attributes and the character of God. That should be seen in us. We as Christians really should be weird living in this world, because we have the Holy Spirit. And instead of being angry and hateful towards others, we are to be loving. Where do we get that kind of love? Well, we get it from the Spirit of God. We're to be joyful. Joyful when everything goes our way? No, joyful when everything does not go our way. Why are we joyful? Because we know who we are, and we know where we're going, and we know what God is doing in our lives. The Holy Spirit is in us to make a difference through us, to make a difference in us first and through us. We live by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the natural tendency we have to live on our own resources and by our own resources needs to be overwhelmed by our dependence upon God. We are to live this life by the power of God, by the presence of God, by the purposes of God, by the leading of God, to the glory of God. So we're coming in this passage to verses 24 and 25. He's already talked about the key verse in this passage, and the way I say this is because notice what the key verse in Galatians is Galatians 2:20. And so I come back to that verse because if we're going to talk about standing firm in the freedom of Christ, chapter 5 and verse 1, and when we look at the deeds of the flesh and we're told not to perform the deeds of the flesh because they have been defeated by Jesus Christ, more on that in a moment. But he mentions 16 to 18 or so sinful doings. And that's not a complete list because he ends up by saying, and such things like this. We don't walk in that way. How do we walk? Well, we walk in the fruit of the Spirit. These are 9 attributes of God. It's really the fruit. It's the evidence of the Spirit of God in us and through us. And so he completes this list, and then he says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That goes back to Galatians 2:20. In Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul sort of explodes with this amazing statement. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I'm going to repeat this because it's important for us to remember. There are 2 dead people in that statement. I have been crucified with Christ. Christ is dead in that statement. He's crucified. And I have been crucified with Christ. That is the foundation of the Christian life. Crucified with Christ. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he lives, I live. And I live to walk in newness of life, his life. But the Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. 2 dead people. In the next phrase, you have 2 living people. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The Apostle Paul was crucified with Christ, and yet he's alive? Yes, he is alive. Why is he alive? Because Christ is alive. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. How does Christ live in him? Through the Holy Spirit. The Father abides with us. The Spirit abides in us. He indwells us. Jesus Christ abides in us. But the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is a special provision that God makes in order that we can say, I no longer live. He's speaking as a Christian here. I no longer live. It is Christ who lives in me. That's the whole force of this whole thing. The people were influenced by the Judaizers who came and said, you need to live by the law. Paul says, I live by Christ. I live by Christ in me. And then he talks about in the third statement, again, 2 people, the lesser having faith in the greater. And the life which I now live, in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. He's coming back again to the cross of Jesus Christ. And he says, I live by faith. I live in the flesh. He's going to talk about the flesh. He already has in this passage. But I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. And it is Christ who lives in me because we died together, and you have the death of Jesus Christ at the beginning and the ending of this verse. So if Christ and I died with him and I live and he lives in me and I live by faith in him, I come back again to the cross and the blessing that he gives. Now he speaks of one of those blessings here in this passage. In verse 24 it says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus, to the Messiah Jesus, to those who belong, he's talking about true Christians. So let me say something about the life of the true Christian. Because you have, as he just has mentioned in this passage, the deeds of the flesh. But he says, you have crucified. That's an active statement. It's really doesn't mean that you crucified your flesh. It means that really the flesh is actually attached to the cross for the victory that Jesus Christ has attained for us. Said you should think of your sinful flesh as having been attached to Christ on the cross, actually attached to Christ. That sinful flesh, that the penalty was paid for at the cross, the power of it was broken at the cross, and the presence will be removed when Jesus Christ returns. And when he comes and we are caught up to meet him in glory, we shall be glorified. We shall be clothed in the righteousness of Christ and the holiness of Christ and in the glory of Christ. Why? Because our flesh is crucified, and we need to look at that and say, well, you know, God has given us every means to not walk by our sinful flesh. And you might say, well, why didn't he just remove our sinful flesh? I said, well, pray for that, that he will do that for me. I'm all for that, that our sinful flesh will be removed now. Living the Christian life would be much easier if we didn't have the sinful flesh in battle with the Spirit. Right now, as you sit there, there's a battle going on. And that battle is between your sinful flesh and the Holy Spirit. And the picture of that battle is each one is trying to push the other one down. That's what that statement is talking about when it talks about the battle that is taking place inside of us with the Spirit of God warring against our sinful flesh. Thankfully, I know who's going to win that battle. I know for two reasons. Because the victory was accomplished by Jesus Christ at the cross. Because the whole of my sinful being was attached to Jesus Christ, actually there when he died, and he died in the flesh, and he died for me. He died to defeat my sinful flesh. So I know he wins the battle, but I also know he wins the battle because he is Almighty God. And I'm Almighty God should win every battle. So I know the victory's won. He's talking to two Christians, and he says, you've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. With its passions, that means your flesh has passions. It has a propensity, an inclination to do the wrong things. That's always going on inside of you. That's why the seed of every sin is in your heart. And the propensity to do those sinful things is in your heart. You say, well, God, take that away from me. Well, he says, I did. I've defeated it paid the penalty at the cross. I've defeated its power, and one day I will remove it. But I want you to walk through that now. I want you to experience the victory of Jesus Christ in your life. And when we experience our sinful flesh, we are so disappointed with ourselves, and we say, why am I listening to my sinful flesh? And the Bible says you don't have to, because it has, before you were saved, you did listen to your sinful flesh, and that was your only option. But with Christ paying the penalty and breaking the power, and one day to remove it completely from us, we are no longer obligated to walk in the flesh. We're no longer obligated to do those things that are mentioned here with great detail. But rather, God has set us free. He's set us free to walk, being led by the Spirit of God. And that's why we should not go out barefooted when we think about living the Christian life, meaning to go out without saying in our prayers even, Dear Heavenly Father, equip me by the Spirit of God to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. Empower me to love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Make these truths evidenced in me and evidenced through me. What God wants to do for us is to make us holy. For His truth to be seen, He saves us that He might live through us. I always say, you know, when we are saved, it isn't that Jesus is at the starting line of a race that we live in the Christian life. And He holds this gun up in the air to start the race. And He says, I'll see you at the end. And He fires the gun and we take off running in the Christian life. And as we take off, it is as if Jesus Christ at the starting line says, I'll see you at the finish. Do the best you can. If that were the case, Jesus would be at the finish line and we'd never get there. We'd get lost along the way. It sort of reminds me of a cross-country race that Will Custis was running in. And we could see it at a distance. And he and the other really good runner at high school at Westside, they were in the lead. And we knew that they were coming to a place like this and they needed to turn the corner and go this way. And both of those two guys in the lead just kept growing right on straight. And we were so far away that we were like, you're going the... No use yelling because they were too far. They'd never hear us. And they go a while like this, and then suddenly they go, and they came back. And they got back on, but they weren't in the lead anymore. You know, we, in living the Christian life, it's like we can follow our sinful flesh, and we're off target again. If living the Christian life was left up to us, we'd just get lost all the time. We would never make it. But God has seen fit to put the Holy Spirit in us to lead us. To lead us not on the pathway to heaven, to lead us to be like Christ. You ought to think of all those attributes as being a part of your life every day. Love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. This is faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are this is the Holy Spirit in us that these may be seen through us because we're being transformed to be like Christ. What an amazing thing. It isn't like we have to be like Christ, traceable to the very strength and power of our own efforts to be like Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing is that God, who sent Jesus to die for us, sent the Holy Spirit to be conformed to Jesus and to be like him, and for the power of God to be seen through us. The Christian life is not about me living for God, it's about God living through me. And that's why when we hold that truth in our hands, it means that we will depend upon God. It should affect our prayer life. God, help me to live for you today. May your truth be seen through my life today. And if I listen to my sinful flesh, then I need you to not lead me in the pathway of these sinful things. What I need is your Holy Spirit to be leading me in the pathway that I'm to go on. And I pursue that. You say, well, if the Holy Spirit is leading you and doing all this, why do you need to pursue it? I said, because the scripture tells me in Colossians to pursue this, to pursue the very thing that God gives us. If he didn't give us, you couldn't pursue it. But he gives it to us, and we can pursue it because he gives it to us to the glory of God. It doesn't say that we should crucify our flesh. It says it was actually crucified with its passions and its desires, the cravings and desires. We have passion to do the wrong thing. We have cravings and desires to do the wrong thing. And the Spirit of God is there to make sure we don't do those things. But we walk in the truth. If you look at your life and say, well, I have, in my life, as I look back, I see that there's a change in my life and I have walked according to the truth of God. You should say, not, well, I did a very good job. I've been doing a good job. I think I've got my hand on this one. We say, glory be to God. Because God sent his Spirit to make sure that we get to the end of the race. And that we get to the end of the race justified, sanctified, and glorified. That we get there righteous and holy and glorified. Put it very simply, God doesn't leave anything open to chance. He certainly doesn't leave the Christian life open to chance. But the key to the Christian life, and the Apostle Paul says, is not obedience to the law. The law is a good thing. It was a good thing for the nation of Israel. It was their national covenant. They were told to obey it, and if they obeyed it, they'd be blessed, and if they disobeyed, they'd be cursed. Deuteronomy chapter 28. But it let them know that by their own efforts, by their own strength, by their own, all the things you have promised, we will do, they said. And they never did it. Or they rarely did it. It shows that you cannot establish a relationship with God or keep a relationship with God by the very best of your efforts. It's a wonderful truth to be learned in the Old Testament scriptures. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said to his disciples, you wait. You wait because if you're going to be apostles, if you're going to go about the ministry, the Holy Spirit has been with you. Now he's going to be in you. And at Pentecost, there's the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that is given as the experience of the disciples was pulled out over time. Because when we first become a Christian, we're not only forgiven of our sins and clothed in the righteousness of Christ, but the Holy Spirit indwells us right then and there to live the Christian life. We had Sunday school, we had the disciples all running away. The reason why they ran away is because the Holy Spirit was with them, but not in them. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit in them transformed them to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Not only in the message that they spoke, but the way in which they lived. If you look at the ministry of the Apostle Paul, I don't know if anybody says, you know, I'd really like to have a ministry like the Apostle Paul. I look at the Apostle Paul's ministry, and you know what I know about it? I know about he went about the ministry in joy. in peace. But everywhere he went, he preached first to the Jews, get kicked out by them, then the Gentiles, eventually get kicked out by them and get beat up on the way out of town. I'd like to have that kind of ministry. I say, well, not really. But the Lord told the Apostle Paul, you're going to see the things you'll suffer for my name's sake. But he went forth with the gospel ministry with the Holy Spirit. So in all that suffering, what was he saying? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by in the flesh by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He went through the ministry in triumph. In prison, with joy? Yes, at peace, in prison. Seeing Christ lived out in him in prison. Amazing. So in all those who belong, they've crucified. It's already taken place. You've already crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And we live, then he says, if we live by the Spirit, he's talking to these Galatians who have been tempted to go back and live by the law. He says, if we live by the Spirit of God, there he's speaking of the new birth. But if we live by the Spirit of God, let us also walk by the Spirit. Couple of verbs in that statement, but there aren't verbs in the original statement. It says, if live or have life by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. Not verbs, but just statements. And the word that's used for live is the word zao, where we get our word zoo. When you go to the zoo, you don't expect to see stuffed animals, you expect to see living animals. Zao, the life of God. The life in God, the life from God, the life in all living beings. We live, we have this life, this supernatural life, this resurrection life, this Christian life. We live by the Spirit. It's not telling you to live by the Spirit. It's saying what you have in the Spirit of God. You have life. You have the life of God in you by the Spirit of God. And we must be given this life, and we must have this life in order to live the Christian life. This is spiritual life. This is physical life. This is eternal life. This is every aspect of life. This is what God gives to us. And he wants us to live with the life that he has and that he gives. In fact, every living being should, even all the animals in this world, so when they wake up in the morning, they should lift their eyes up and say, thank you, God, for the life you've given me, because I'm just an animal, but I have the life that you've given to me. But we as human beings have that spiritual side to see the spiritual truth, and we should wake up every morning. Say, thank you, God, for the life that you give me, the spiritual life to give me, the physical life you give me to live today, and the eternal life that you give me to live forever. And you've given it all to me. And it says, if we live in the Spirit, he's just saying it's sort of this spiritual reality, the spiritual truth that is true for each one of us. It could say, since we live, since we have life of the Spirit, in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. So the new birth was a dramatic change. Spiritual death to spiritual life. The old nature to the new nature. Resurrection life of Jesus Christ. The indwelling life of the Holy Spirit. And we live the Christian life with sin defeated and present until Jesus Christ comes and takes even that away from us, defeated at the cross. The word that's used here for walk is not one of the usual words for walk. It means to walk orderly, to march in a line, to proceed in life according to God and the resources of God. have a glimpse into the Apostle Paul when you go back and look at 2 Corinthians, and he talks about the New Covenant ministry. And the New Covenant ministry was the ministry Jesus established, the New Covenant at the cross. And he gauged us into this New Covenant ministry, and it's wonderful when Paul starts to speak of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And he says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia." Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He was a little bit not finding rest in his spirit because of what he expected to find, but he says, now, thanks be to God who always leads us. Paul didn't especially know where he was being led or how he was being led or the ways he was being led, but he says this, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one we are the aroma of death to death, to the other the aroma of life to life. And then he says this, and who is sufficient for these things? Paul certainly says, I'm not sufficient for these things. He's already said that he was a little confused about where he was going and how he was going there. But then he says, but thanks be to God who's always leading us in triumph. Who's sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. It's a wonderful statement that indicates that we are the aroma of Christ. We, you know, people should see us and see the things of Christ in us because God puts them in us for us to pursue those things. So when I meet someone and they do something awful, I may think awful things about them, and the Lord says, no, you know, your response to them is to be loving, to be gentle, to be kind. And my sinful flesh says, I don't want to be gentle and kind and loving. And the flesh tries to push down the spirit. And the Spirit of God says, you are to be the aroma of Christ. You are to be, because you are the aroma of Christ. God's truth is to be seen in us because the Holy Spirit is in us. And the flesh tries to push down the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit pushes down the flesh. Because the Holy Spirit will win in us. And that's really the Apostle Paul saying here. So that says, one thing I'm confident of is that he always leads us in victory. He's always leading us. So let me just give you a couple of statements never to say. Never say, the Christian life is too difficult for me. Too many things to do, too many things to be. The Christian life is too difficult for me. Because I'd say to you, if you said that to me, I'd say, you're exactly right. It is too difficult for you. It's too difficult for me. But don't leave it there. Don't ever just say it as a fact, the Christian life is too difficult for me, therefore I'm not going to live it. I cannot live it. Don't say, I cannot attain to such a high standard in my life. That's not for you to say. If God puts the Holy Spirit in us, then the Holy Spirit comes with the attributes of God, not the attributes of me. He comes with the attributes of God so that God's attributes shall be seen. And never say, I can not have victory over sin in my life. Christians still struggle with sin. We still have that defeated, penalty paid, defeated, overwhelmed flesh in us that will one day be removed because it's all paid for, it's all done. We still have that in us, capable of every sin, any sin. We still struggle with sin. We still struggle with listening to our sinful flesh rather than being led by the Spirit of God. But the Christian life is not too difficult if we have the Spirit of God. And we can attain to the high standard of that if we have the Spirit of God. And we can have victory over sin. If we have, or since we have, the Spirit of God. So truth be told, we are not sufficient for any of the Christian life, but our sufficiency is of the Lord by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And that is a very powerful influence in our life. As I've studied the book of Galatians this time around, preached it before, but as I've studied it around this time, the thing that's really impressed me is the Apostle Paul says, the life of God in you is the leading factor in your life. I don't take anything away from the scriptures and all the commands that are given, but what I have noticed is that many of the Christian commands that we have in the New Testament are very general commands. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, who says, I want you to fulfill that command in love, joy, and peace. And all the attributes that God gives to us. I want you to fulfill those things because I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We as Christians should be weird in this world. We should be different. We should be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ because of the power that's given to us. And the Apostle Paul said, this is a mighty power in you. This is the commanding presence in you. God is leading us in the virtues of God. Sometimes when we think of the leading of God and the leading of the Spirit, we think about where we're going in this, what we're going to do here, how we're going to do this, and all the rest of that stuff. When really we should be thinking of these characteristics of the Spirit of God being present and active in our relationships with one another every day, in our relationships with our family every day, in the way in which we live every day. That's being led by the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul says, you've got this Almighty God in you, leading you. Submit to Him. Yield to Him. Depend upon Him. Cry out for His presence in your heart and life. Look to the Lord for the blessings that only He can give. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith, holding this truth, holding all the truth that I cannot see, but it's the reality of that truth. It's faith is the underlying principle that holds the wonderful truths that we would never know if God did not reveal it to us in the Scriptures. Live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. Great truth. Wonderful truth. So this is not just truth to make us feel wonderful as we sit and listen to a message. I'm sure it does that as well. But this is truth that we hold by faith, and He says, be led by faith, live by faith, be led by the Spirit of God, live by the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit. Wow. That Holy Spirit is a powerful presence in our lives. And may God help us to depend more and more and more upon God. Not less and less and less, but more and more and more. May we depend upon Him in whatever we do every day of our lives, seeing His attributes, character, truths in our lives and through our lives to the glory of God. Great truth. That's great truth. And I'm so thankful that when we live the Christian life, we don't live it by ourselves. We live it with the Lord. And we live it with the Holy Spirit. And He's a person. And we should pray that God will make His person to be the controlling influence in our daily lives as we walk in Him. May God help us. God help us. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the strength and power and the resources and the truth that You have put in our hearts. We're thankful that You have revealed that to us, that we may, so to speak, hold that truth in our hands by faith. We can't see those things. I can't see the Spirit of God, but there He is. I cannot see the cross of Christ, but there it is. And we understand the truth and we receive the truth by faith. Very real truths that for the present we cannot see. We cannot touch, but we are assured and we are convinced. Why? Well, because You, Father, have convinced us and assured us of Your truth. We pray that You will change our lives as we live day by day. We pray that the fruit of the Spirit may be the distinctive characteristic of our lives when people look at us. We pray that we will see the victory of the Holy Spirit over our sinful flesh and the desires and the propensity that we have to do the wrong things and to follow our sinful flesh. It's defeated. The power has been broken. The presence will be removed. It's defeated. May Christ be seen in us. May the Holy Spirit live in us and through us. May we walk being led by the Spirit of God. God, help us. Help us. We pray that You will be seen in our hearts and lives this week, day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.